This lesson is something that has been in my mind for a long time, especially because I studied Philippians with, now I can say that, my father-in-law. He was my teacher, and it was hard, but I got a lot out of this study. I learned a lot about this letter from Paul, and I just got really excited because it's a different kind of letter. I want to tell you something. Imagine that this morning, me, I'm Christian, I'm from Mexico. I woke up and I said, I really, really want to be in the U.S. Army. I want to sign up. But if you think about it, that really wouldn't make sense at all. Would it? Not really. I have never seen a Mexican citizen be in another country's army. Or any kind of citizen. It doesn't happen like that. You are a citizen of a country. If you want to serve in the army, you serve the army of your country. In order for you to be able to be in the army of another country as a citizen from that country, you would have to reject your own, right? Or not reject, just transition to that new citizenship. So my dream wouldn't really make sense if I think about it. And the concept of citizenship is really important, especially in the context of Philippi. Philippi was not just a city. It was a colony from Rome. That means they belonged to Rome. They acted like Romans. Everything was like the Romans. It was a town full of veterans from the war, from Rome. And they were allowed to live there. And they just lived like them. They had their laws. They obeyed them. They dressed like the Romans. Ate like Romans. They lived like Romans because that's what they were. In fact, this town was not really called Philippi. It was called Colonia Julia Filipensis. Colonia meaning colony. That means it belongs to them. It is the same. It's an extension of that other country. I want to read to you this text. Please go with me because that's where we're going to be there. It's an Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verses 2-16. We're going to go farther in here. In fact, the part that I want you to focus in is from 12 to 21, but right now we're going to start with this section. This letter is called different names. It's called Paul's Love Letter, the Epistle of the Excellent Things, the Epistle of Joy. If you think about Philippians, it's a happy letter, right? It's a love letter. That's how people would express that. It's really personal. It's really emotional for Paul. Because this church is his baby. That's how he cares for this church. He says, I love you. I care for you that much. It's like, you come from me. That's basically what he's saying. But he's worried about some things. And in this whole letter, even when it's a love letter, he warns them about stuff. There are two main problems. One is there are false teachers among them. And the other one, there were wrong influences. The world was getting into the church. That's what was happening, and it's not a problem just for that time. From that time, it happens today, and it will keep happening because the world is against God. So this is the reasons, and even when Paul loved them, he's telling them, hey, pay attention to these things. These things are happening among you. They are not far away from you. These people are right next to you. I really want to read this text because I get excited by reading it. And it's just important to know that the best lesson we can get is from the text and not from what someone says. It says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those thugs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to that what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body.